So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
And good morning, everybody. It's Dan Latto speaking. Welcome to the Business Growth Show. So we are live from Spain. It's a lovely sunny day this morning, a little bit cold outside. But we are live. And in today's show, we're going to talk to you about the four millionaire habits. So what can I say? I've owned millions of pounds of properties for the last 20 years. I got my first £1 million worth of property by the age of 29, probably earlier than that, maybe 28. And then we just kept buying. And we kept buying as many properties as we could. So just to kind of set the credibility level there, sometimes we forget we've got them. Other times we are very aware that we've got them. We've got a massive issue on one right now where the tenant's left. Honestly, you've never seen anything like it. It should be on TV. It's in such a dreadful state, but we've got workmen on site and it'll all get done back on the market in the next 2 or 3 weeks. It's just how we roll. We turn stuff around really quick. But in today's session, I want to talk about the four millionaire habits that really got us there. But it's not just about getting there. It's really about getting there, keeping you there, and actually improving as you go through. Because if you don't do this properly, you really do run the risk of getting there, not managing it properly, and then it'll gobble you up, it'll bite you, it'll eat you. And so this is really important, and so this is why we're doing this particular show on the four millionaire habits. So let's just crack straight into the content then. Millionaire habit number one is planning. Honestly, the number of times, it drives me insane, the number of times I see people not planning. I speak to business owners, they're not planning, they don't know what they're doing tomorrow, they don't know what's happening next week, next month, next year. There's no cash flow forecast, there's nothing. And it's like, so what, you just wake up and decide what to do? How's that working out for you? I can tell you, it's probably not working out the best. And for those that it is working out, imagine now if you actually planned what you were going to do this week, this month, this year, next 10 years, the decade after that. Yesterday, I recorded a video called 20 Summers Left, because I'm 50. I don't know how long I'm going to live. How many summers have I got left? How about I start planning those summers now? If you only got 20, why not plan them? Next year, let's do Egypt. Next year after that, let's do Rome. Next year after that, let's do Tokyo. Next year after that, let's do Australia. Why not sort that out? Otherwise, what will happen is 20 years in, you go, oh no, I need to travel the world. And you've got no time left to do it. Planning is absolutely paramount. And there's various aspects of planning that you need to organise. One of them is time management. I use Asana right now for my time management. And before I used Asana, I just used to use my trusty sheet of paper, wherever it is. And then I would allocate that time onto my calendar. And I would get so much work done because of the amount of planning that would go into, okay, I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do that, then I'm going to do this. And at the end of the week, as I look back at the rest of the week I've just done, there'd be a whole bunch of stuff that all got completed. Not, oh, I meant to do this and I meant to do that. It was all done and completed. Certainly about 90% of it. Sometimes it's never 100% because just life gets in the way, let's face it. But planning is so important. So you've got time management planning. What other types of planning have you got? You've got financial planning. And I don't mean things like pensions, although that's important, or insurance, that's important if you've not got life insurance. I don't mean junior SIPs. My eldest is 16, I've got a 13-year-old and I've got a 7-year-old, and each one of those, we're just doing the process now, we keep failing at it, but we'll get there with it. But each one of those is going to have a pension, like now. So we can put small amounts of money away, so if they've got whatever happens in their life, they're covered until they're 57, and then we can call down the pension and they're covered. So financial planning also refers to your spreadsheet. Where's your spreadsheet? Like, I've already logged into my spreadsheet this morning and I've logged into my banking and I've updated it. I've got the running total. I know what the profit and loss is. I then look at next month and the next month and the next month. And then I can forecast where we're going to be, where we're going to move money around. We've got a large bill that's come through for this property that's been severely damaged by a, needless to say, a DSS tenant. This is one of the reasons we don't rent to DSS. Because of damage, basically. We had like 10, we have 2 now, and that's it. And I know it's very unpopular to say that you don't accept DSS, but we don't accept DSS. you know, those people that think we should, that's fine. I don't have an issue with that. You be the guarantor for these DSS tenants. That would be awesome. Thank you. Let's do it that way. but your spreadsheet, so that you can then look forward into the future and go, okay, I've got some cash here. I've got a problem here. And then you can move stuff around. When we take on a business coaching client, we still do a little bit of that, not too much. And I don't want too many clients. We've got a couple of clients. But this is one of the very first things that we do is we get their planning in place. Because without a plan, you're just guessing at best. Or even worse than guessing, you're hoping. Like, hope's a dreadful bloody strategy. You need to plan everything. What else do we plan? And I've been really dreadful at this next one. But the other thing that we should be planning is our food. What are we eating? How many calories are we taking in? I'm just going to pull it up now. You won't be able to see this. This is MyFitnessPal, which there is an app for. And on MyFitnessPal, I can program into it every morning the food that I'm going to eat for the day. And it will tell me how many calories, how many carbs, how many fat, how many protein, plus how much salt, because I'm not eating enough salt generally when I do my diet. But this form of planning is perfect because it allows me to plan what weight I want to get to. And I've been really dreadful at this, by the way. And my discipline levels are so bad. I just, you know, it's just been a cold winter. I can't get to CrossFit. I'm too bloody cold. There's no heating on. And then 20 minutes in, you're sweating like a pig anyway, if pigs sweat. so anyway, the planning that you should be doing here, if you want to hit that target weight, is you should be watching what you eat. And you should be planning your time management with when you're going to go to the gym, whenever that happens to be. But there are various types of planning that you need to do. And this, you know, the 4 Millionaire Habits doesn't necessarily mean millionaire in terms of money. Like, you live until you're 90 healthily, I think is a millionaire habit. Like, is a millionaire result, shall we say. Millionaire doesn't necessarily have to refer to cash. It can refer to happiness levels. It can refer to contentedness. And certainly as an entrepreneur, my level of contentedness goes up and down. Never bloody content. We always want more. It's our Achilles heel, if you like. When will enough be enough? It will never be enough. Not until we own the whole universe. And we, you know, find a way of living for an extra couple of thousand years. It will never be enough. But that's not really going to happen, is it? So in the meantime, we have to plan all these other things because we want to live our best life. Do we want to go to Australia and Tokyo and Rome and New York and LA and India and all these wonderful places? And do we want to be able to afford to be able to do those things? Of course. Well, then it has to come back down to planning and you've got a plan in order to get yourself there. Let's talk about the next one then. One of the 4 Millionaire Habits is invest. Like, if you've got no investments, and by the way, let's just talk about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency for a second. That is not investing. Just to absolutely lay it out there, if you're putting money into cryptocurrency, you're not investing. You may as well take that money, put it on black at the roulette table and spin the wheel and see what happens, because that really is, you know, cryptocurrency for me is just below gambling. It's somewhere in between the two, but it's like 90% gambling, 10% investing. So just to absolutely get that down there. And I see people have got like 30, 40, 50% of their net worth is in crypto. And whilst I actually believe crypto is going to do really well in the next 10 years, it might not. You know, it might just all completely fall. There might be new laws and regulations that come in. And I know, crypto, you can't stop it. You just need an internet connection. But trust me, they'll stop it in some way if that's what they want to do, if they're not benefiting in some way from it. But that's not investing. Investing is putting 50 quid away from the age of 20 to the age of 30, from the age of 30 to the age of 50, putting £50, £100, £200, moving up to £500. And as your income continually increases, it's about increasing that. And where do you put that money? Stocks and shares, ISAs, into property. You know, like we've talked about what my percentages are. See if I can remember them. It's, 50% into new property, 30% into paying down debt, 10% into crypto. I can't remember where the other 10% is. Maybe into an ISA or something. I can't remember. But pretty much that's how we break down our investing. And any spare cash that we've got left at the end of the month, and I'm going to clarify that statement in a minute, as we'll explain what I mean by that. But any spare cash we've got left at the end of the month, that's what goes into that. And this is what I mean by clarify that statement. We don't have money left at the end of each month. every end of month is zero. It should be zero because we've got cash flow allocated for investing. So I'll make these numbers up. So we've got 200 quid for paying down debt, £300 for buying a new property. We've got 50 quid on crypto and 50 quid on an ISA. It's programmed into the spreadsheet that we talked about before in the planning section. You should have this spreadsheet so that you actually know that when you get to the end of the month, it's zero, and it's zero because you've moved money into your investments, into your savings account, into your emergency fund, whatever that's going to be. And if you're in property, by the way, you need an emergency fund of about £10,000 or £15,000, I would suggest. This refurb that we're having to do now is going to cost £10,000 or £15,000, pretty sure of it, because of the damage that this DSS tenant has done. But we invest over the long term, and you would invest over long term by putting little bits away. And if you can teach your kids to do this, 10% of all pocket money, 20% of all pocket money should go into piggy bank, should go into long-term savings. If you can get into the habit of doing that, when those kids turn 18 and go and get a proper job, or 21 or 22 or whatever that is, they're going to get some of that money, and they're going to automatically move some money into an ISA or into a pension or whatever, and start this investing routine that will serve them really, really well. And if you've not done that yet, now is the time to do it. And if you can't afford to do that, put a pound away. Like, if you know, and trust me, I get, for some people, they just don't have those choices. I see this conversation on Twitter, and it actually winds me up a little bit, because they talk about, in Spain we call it Glovo, but the guys on bikes delivering pizzas, peddling, you know, to deliver fast food. Oh, well, they should be on a better wage. You're right, they should. They need to get a better job. No, they need to be paid more. You're right, they need to get a better job. No, that job needs to pay more. You're crazy. That's never going to happen. You're not supposed to be riding bikes delivering pizzas in your 50s, by the way. And if that's where you are right now, you've made some mistakes in life, and you need to own it. Literally, you need to own that and look at what you're going to do to rectify it, which actually then neatly leads me on to the next bit. So one of the four millionaire habits is to self-educate. Like, is it Jim Rohn? Who said this? Normal education will get you a career. Formal education will get you a career. Self-education will get you wealthy. Something like that. And if you're just relying on the education that you received at school, everybody else got that same education. If you're relying on the education you got at college or university, everybody else got a similar type of education at those places. And if you want to be like everybody else, I don't have a problem with that. But I don't want to be like everyone else, and I know for a fact I'm definitely not like everybody else. And some people definitely agree. Dan, you're unique in many different ways, you weirdo. And I totally embrace that, and that's not a problem for me. But I know that self-education, and this is what happens with self-education, is you read a book over here, and you read a book over there, and then you read a book here, and you read a book here, and you read a book here. And what happens is you start making all these connections between all these disparate things that you've read, and then you take your outlook on life based on all these things that you've read, and that's the action that you then begin to take. Like, I wish I could repeat that because it's so important, but I can't remember it. It's so important, replay that bit. All these disparate bits of information will come together, added to how you see the world, and then that will form your actions. And you're either going to do really well or you're going to do really bad, okay? Both of which are fine. If you do really bad, you have to change the actions until you get it right. That's how it works. But self-education comes from reading books, listening to podcasts, watching YouTube videos, buying more training courses. I spent hundreds of thousands of pounds on training courses. And people go, oh, you want another training course, are you? Yep, 20 years on. What are you doing? I'm working in an office, but I got furloughed. Okay, I'm sat by the Med. We're going to go for coffee after this, down a cafe at the Med. Thank you very much. So self-education can get you there. And people might say, well, what type of self-education, Dan? And one of the things I particularly like right now is I like listening to people's journey. What, you know, some of the mental things, like The Shoe King, is it, by Phil Knight, is it? The Shoe King. Anyway, the Phil Knight's book from Nike. That book, I love hearing the problems that they've had and that they've then overcome, because all businesses have these problems. All millionaires have these problems. Billionaires, trillionaires, we all have problems, right? But it's not the problems, it's the solving of those problems and being able to move people along to getting to a stage where we can just focus on solving the problem. Like, we know there's a problem. In fact, I would turn that language around. Instead of saying solving the problem, I would say finding the solution. Because if you're solving problems, you're continually looking for problems, right? And you're sticking inside the problem. If you're finding solutions, you're finding solutions. There is no problem, there's only solutions to the problem. I think anytime we use the word problem, I think it's a negative connotation that you need to erase. You need to change that language around and start looking for some of the solutions. And some of the solutions that you can look for is education from people who've had 50 years in business, 25 years in digital marketing, 10 years in crypto, 3 years in NFTs. Like, they are the kings right now of those particular markets. And if you've not read them, where are you getting your information from? The news? From Jonathan Ross, or who was it who was interviewing Paris Hilton about NFTs? Oliver, I can't remember, one of the guys over in America. Like, where are you getting your information from? This is about self-education. And I'll tell you, most formal education is wrong. Like, I'm not saying, you know, brain surgery and hearts and, you know, fixing broken legs. That's not wrong. But the way that they see the world is wrong. My mum said, oh, Dan, everybody has to have a job. Here's the dog. Everybody has to have a dog, a job. Well, everybody should have a dog. Everybody needs a job, Dan. You're not unique in any way. And you're absolutely right. I'm not unique. I'm just like everybody else. Until I wasn't, because of the level of self-education that I put myself into. I've walked on burning hot coals. I've broken arrows with my throat and bent metal bars with my throat. I've done all that stuff. I've done the Tony Robbins and the Chris Howard stuff. Absolutely mind-blowing. And I've read all the books. Before we moved over to Spain, I had a huge library. We didn't bring them with us because it was huge. We give them to the local charity shop. And they were like, oh my goodness me, because there were so many books that we had. If you'd have seen it, we had bookcases of books that we'd read. Every single one of those books had been read, every single one. And people walk into your house and we're like, oh my goodness me, have you read these? I'm like, yeah, of course I've read these. Well, it was a small section of stuff I was going to get through. And obviously now we're on Kindle, aren't we? And so we move on to Kindle and we move on to podcasts. I was on a flight on the way back over to Spain. I was been in the UK for just 2 days, which is really cool. But on the flight on the way back, I was listening to Gary Vee. Continual self-education. And the self-education, as you're going through time, might change. As you're getting older, the stuff for me is about people's journeys rather than more do this, do that, do something else. But it still forms part of that. Okay, and then the final part here of one of the four millionaire habits is multiple income streams. When I look at some of the income streams we've got, I mean, we're very grateful for every single one of them. Even those that you know, don't bring in a huge amount of money, very grateful for them. We had yesterday, we had 3 sales pop in all within the space of an hour of a £27 product. That's £100. Like, excuse me, that's awesome. What can I spend £100 on? Facebook ads, Google ads. Then we generate a website lead off of £100 spent on Google pay-per-click. Now we've just made £400. And the only reason we made that £400 on a website is because we sold 3 products, the same product actually, that we created back in 2020 in February. We still make money off those. We make thousands of pounds a year of stuff, work that we did years ago. Like, for most people, they go to work, they don't earn money off that years into the future. They get paid at the end of the month and you got to go do another month again. But multiple streams of income. So we've got things like property. And also, by the way, on various multiple streams of income, you get various tax breaks. So on property, you've got capital gains tax. You've got an allowance, like 11 or 12 grand, whatever it is. You just get taxed differently. If you've got a limited company, there's different tax regimes based on the type of income that you're getting and the structure of that income. And you should be taking advantage of this. So you should be getting property. You should be getting money coming in for selling like intellectual property to some extent, like training courses. Like, you should create a training course. It costs you nothing to create a training course, by the way. Like, literally, Thinkific will give you 1 free training course. That you can give away. Just create one, £27, push it like crazy, start making a little bit of money. Like, once you've created the training course, you can get repeat income. We've got a product of ours called, what's it called? Rapid Course Creation. And it shows you, it's 27 quid, shows you how to get a brand new training course created and sold within the first 14 days. Because it shouldn't take you 3 months to create a training course. It should take you 2 weeks. Get it out the door, start improving it as you keep going on, maybe raise the price as you're starting to offer more value. But if you're selling a lot, just leave the price as it is. And if you're not selling a lot, drop the price. It's about generating cash flow, not about making sure that you make so much money off each individual item that you sell. But you should be looking at multiple streams of income. So you might have a job. That's awesome. I hate the just over broke thing. I hate it. Like a J-O-B, just over broke. You know, a J-O-B, mate, is paying for the solid platform so that you can go out and then invest your money and do all these extra things. You might have a part-time job. You might have a part-time hustle of some kind. You might be selling our digital marketing products and services. You might be creating a training course. You might be doing all of that to buy property. You might be buying stocks and shares with dividends. All that stuff is multiple streams of income. And what happens is, like, you know, you might have a bad month on property, but then the digital marketing kicks in. And you might have a bad month on digital marketing, and then you sell, you know, 20 different training courses at 27 quid each. And that covers the cost on that. And then you can utilize each one of these, depending which one's going well and which one's going bad, you can move all the money around. This is why multiple streams of income work so well. It's not about, you know, a bit here, a bit there, and a bit there. And don't get me wrong, sometimes it is. But sometimes it's a bit here, a bit there, and not much there, but this covers that. That's what it's about. This is why multiple streams of income work so well. And multiple streams of income isn't having two jobs, by the way. It's having maybe one job and a part-time hustle. And the part-time hustle can be something that you do a transactional service for. So, you clean snow, you wash cars. But you can't make money off that in a year's time. You know, the car that you washed last year won't continue to pay you. But a training course that you've created will continue to pay you. Like the three training courses that we sold yesterday for 27 quid. And we got paid. I love that. I went out and had a coffee off that money. It was awesome. So multiple streams of income is also where you need to be. So look, I hope that's useful for you. We'll catch up with you on the next one. My name's Dan Latto. Have yourselves a wicked day. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.